Welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, a conversation of love, life, and relationships. Welcome to Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. This is Benita.
And this is Ellis.
We're back for another episode. I can't talk today. Another episode of our podcast about love, life, and relationships. How are you doing, sir?
I am doing well. Getting ready for this holiday. What is it? Voting holiday, Halloween. Halloween, holiday, something
okay,
coming up.
It's a holiday.
I can't complain. I'm doing well.
Good. So I hope everybody's out there voting. I hope a lot of you have already voted. But definitely exercise your right to vote if you hear this before Election Day. So today we want to thank everybody for listening to the last couple podcasts that I put out in the same week. I was kind of behind one of the weeks. I was working on some things in the house. So I put out two in a week. So thank you for listening. Thanks for sharing. And your feedback is invaluable. We appreciate you. We're going to be doing more podcasts that we're going to have folks join us because that was fun. It's always good energy to bring others into the fold and hear what they have to say and let them express themselves. So if you want to be on one of our podcasts, hit us up on our Facebook page, Love Wins with Ellis and Benita, or email us at lovewinswithellisandbenita@gmail.com. So today we are talking about something that a lot of us have experienced. So we look forward to your feedback about loving the wrong one.
So, great topic.
Okay.
And I know we kind of discussed this off air on the side. And I think I've had an epiphany in this area.
Oh, I can't wait.
And I think as pertains to myself, that in hindsight, or I'll say foresight, you think that you're in the wrong relationship and you're loving the wrong person. But what if being with the wrong person has shown you how to love the right person?
You know, I say a lot of times there are no mistakes. There's a lot of lessons to be learned. And so if we take the lessons from those relationships, you know, maybe it is the wrong person, but it was the right time for you to be with that person because there was something that you had to learn.
Right.
You know, so.
And I would like to say, I can't classify anybody other than myself, but I don't think that it was actually me loving the wrong person, though that relationship did not work out. But that I had to go through that to get to where I am now, to understand what love is and what love is not, but more importantly, to be sure I don't settle for any kind of loving relationship as I move forward. Mm-hmm. More importantly, as it pertains to how I love myself, that's been my greatest revelation, is that when I was in those poor relationships, it had very little to do with the other people, but more so to do with my lack of knowledge as it pertains to how I love me and how I'm going to not settle for things that pertain to what I enjoy.
Right.
What I need to be.
So I had a phone call this morning with a good friend of mine. And so we've, over the last 4 or 5 months, we've probably talked 6 times. And so every time we talk, he's getting out of a relationship with the same girl, you know. And so I listened to him today. And so I shared with him, I asked him, you know, he was sharing some things about her that, and I know him well. So he was sharing some things about her that were turnoffs for him. And these were his red flags that this wasn't the right person. But at the same time, he was having a hard time letting go, apparently. And we've been there. So I shared with him, I asked him, did he know anything about love languages? And we've talked about that on this show before. And for our listeners, it's a book by Gary Chapman. And you can Google it, you can get the book, short read, but it's also a quiz that you can kind of figure out what your love language is. And so this young woman had said that she was used to dating older men, and she's early 40s, he's mid-50s. She's used to dating older men who give her stuff. So her love language is gifts. Right. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Right.
If that's
right.
What, you know, somebody want to do. His is touch and time. He liked that. And so she ain't got time for you. She wants gifts.
Gifts.
Yeah, and you ain't trying to do that. You want, you know, so, and I was, he hadn't heard of the love languages. And so I shared the book with him. He was taking a quiz when we got off the phone this morning. I'm looking forward to our next conversation in a couple of weeks that he'll tell me a different reason they bought the breakup.
Right.
Oh, you know, but she's ended it in essence. To me, he's holding on.
Finally, or just for this time?
I mean, she, no, it ain't her, it's him. Like, she said, okay, we're going to be friends. Then she took sex off the table. Okay, so if she's done that, she's in essence saying, okay, this friendship is going to be platonic, you know, because we taking off the physical, because in some people's mind, in his head, even though he knows, you know, on paper, this ain't the right one, but I think deep down, he still felt like this. I'm gonna make this work.
Based off of what?
Because I think sometimes people feel like you can change somebody, and so that's why we get into these wrong one relationships. I think there's still some hopefulness that, you know, I'm good enough of a person that this person is gonna change for me.
See, and I think you're right, but I don't think we have a foundation for love. For example, if you don't know what you require in terms of being in a loving relationship, it's going to be very difficult to clearly judge who you need to be with in a loving relationship. And so I can honestly say, as I was talking to a young man, how I love in my 20s and 30s is not my view of love right now.
Okay.
So the question was, so were you in love with the wrong person? And I would say, well, typically in hindsight, I would say yes, but would I be where I am now if I had not had those previous experiences? And so the truth of the matter is I had no foundation and I didn't even think about love. I didn't even know to think about love. But now I'm more conscious of what love is and more importantly, what I need and what I desire. Because I'm 52. Versus being 22 or 32 or even 42.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think we've done a good job of identifying what love is to us, especially as men.
Right. And I think where age comes into play is with experience. You know, as I mentioned in this particular case, this young lady was early 40s where we are women. You know, we are going through kind of like some transitions. Her children are just graduating high school. So now you're going from this form of parenting to this other form of parenting. That's a transition once they become young adults.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, it changes. And so you're dealing with that. And so one of the things he kept saying was when she was talking about what she wanted to do, she used the pronoun I. And so he's mid-50s, so he likes we. I was like, yeah, but I understand her because at that age, you know, she's going into a new phase of her life. It ain't like she ain't thinking about you, but she's really thinking about her. And that's not a bad thing.
No, I think she's entitled to that.
Yeah.
But I think we get into these relationships, we want to speak from the plural we, when oftentimes it's not. Because we is even I, unless you really talk to the other person about what they want, what they consider, and how they view love.
Right.
And I know, I gotta be a little more specific than I'm about ready to say. Since y'all say I speak with a broad brush out here. I just ain't trying to share all my business. But I did not know what love was. I had no inclination of a healthy relationship or marriage because that's not what I saw. With that being said, I knew what I didn't want. But it wasn't until I had some failed relationships that I realized what I needed. And I was just thinking, as a man, if you don't have a man in your life who can clearly identify or help you identify what love and love isn't, you tend to take it for the opinion of women. And I don't think that's necessary. I think women have been taught to say, okay, this is the kind of relationship I want and what I need. But I don't think men have been taught that. At least I wasn't taught that.
So what are you saying? Men have been just kind of accept what?
I think men have been taught, you know, everything's based off of sex.
Sex is good. This is a good
Or if she's pretty, or if she do X, Y, and Z, or if she do something like my mama, you know, yeah. I think that's our framework. And I think that's inaccurate. And I think that's how we, as men, get into the wrong relationships, choose the wrong woman, or then we find ourselves in a place we shouldn't be in. Another man should be in that place. We're trying to hold on to this woman, and we ain't really supposed to be with her. We only want her because she looked like X, Y, and Z, or she do X, Y, and Z. And I think that's how we get into failed relationships. I'm not saying that has been my experience, but I can say that there have been times in which I have been in the wrong place with the wrong person at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And so I'm learning now how to separate or step out when I know I'm not supposed to be in a certain position.
I like to go back through and think about like people that I've met. And when I've met these people initially, the plan was to, you know, consider a relationship, you know, see where it leads.
Right.
And so, you know, some of these people are still present, you know, in my life as my friends, but I like to kind of look at them and say, okay, this is what's good about them. You know, it had to be a lot of things good if I maintained the friendship. I just, you know, we didn't move forward to a committed relationship. So I couldn't, I like to go back through and review that and kind of see what's good so I can say, okay, this is what I liked about this person. So when I'm really looking for this relationship,
right,
that was something that I liked and that's right, something that I kind of want.
I think that's healthy.
Yeah.
But I, unfortunately, as men, we do not have the kind of conversation that women have as pertains to our significant or perhaps potential romantic love interests. Right? We're not having these kind of conversations. It's always like, oh, she looked like this, or she do that. But are we talking about the qualities this woman brings to the table that makes me want to make her my wife or to keep her in my life? I mean, these are kind of conversations I was trying to have with my son, and he was like, well, you know, I ain't thinking about all that. But you should be thinking about that. I mean, why even enter into a relationship with somebody if you don't know she can fulfill that what you want. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, I'm too young to be thinking about that. No, you're never too young, especially if you're talking about having sex with somebody.
Yeah, and then having a family, right, and those things. Yeah.
Well, I ain't thinking about a family. Why you like? So you just can't be in her life because if you're gonna be having sex with her, she's gonna be feeling some kind of way.
Yeah.
And you may not be feeling some kind of way.
That brings
but make
up
sure
a whole
that you have a clear understanding
of
what you're gonna be having. When you get in a sexual relationship with her, don't just leave her strung out. And I think sometimes men, we kind of do that. So I was trying to teach him, you know, not to do that. He was getting frustrated with me, like I'm trying to push him to where he doesn't need to be. But I'm like, but you know, I ain't like her like that.
So are you saying that for men, Jen? And this is a blanket statement. So I know every man isn't like this. But for men, sex is more of an action, and for women, it's more of a feeling.
I can't speak on behalf of women.
Okay. All right.
I can't speak on behalf of women.
All right.
And I think if you look at society and how we view love and relationship, it always has to include some kind of sexual act, right? But there's more ways to describe love than having to have intercourse. With that being said, I'm trying to get my sons to understand, before you become intimate with anybody, you have to know what you want, because you don't want to be having no kids out here. Because everybody that you potentially engage with could be your baby mama. Yeah. And then what?
And that's a permanent situation.
That's permanent.
Yeah.
So don't even throw out the word love. If it's just sex, then say that. But don't use love as an excuse mm-hmm. to want to have sex with somebody. That's how we get things confused.
Yeah.
Because I had a situation with my friend's son, and he was like, you know, I really love that girl. I said, what'd you love about her? Oh, we had great sex. I said, but that don't make that mean
yeah,
you don't love
else?
Her.
What else? Because you can, yeah.
Otherwise, y'all fighting. Y'all fighting and fussing, and the cops coming over there. But come on now, let's be clear. But he could not separate one from the other. But once he finally did, after he got to a situation in which he put his hands on her, and they, you know, so they've been going back and forth in this regard, but it really wasn't about love. It wasn't about love at all. They had a good sexual relationship, and otherwise, they couldn't stand
nothing.
Each other. They couldn't stand each other. And so she was like, well, he's the wrong person for me. Well, for the last 5 years, he ain't been the wrong person.
Yeah.
Well, something been going on.
Right. And so, you know, walk away from, and I think that's what this young lady did, I was describing this morning.
Right.
She knew he wasn't the right person for
us. She was in her 40s. Can you imagine? She, how long have they been seeing each other?
3 months.
Oh, wow.
Okay. You know, I mean, because.
3 months.
Just yesterday.
Well,
you know, this is COVID love.
Oh, it's COVID love. should be social distancing anyway.
It's COVID love. You know how it is. Everybody take, you know, back in the day, it's like you showed your HIV test, so everybody good. Now you show your COVID test. You got your COVID test. Your COVID test good. COVID test good. Okay, we're going to be together.
Man,
this is a different era.
This COVID test is holding the conversation. But, you know, be careful you find love in COVID. You know, COVID love may not be reliable love. Yeah. But soon the pandemic is over, you know, the COVID love situation may be over.
Or you come out of COVID with a baby.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
I can't.
Mm-mm. It's a racket full who having COVID babies right now. Mm-hmm. It's a racket full. You know, I just don't know if we have done a great job of vetting or thinking about this whole love thing. For example, somebody put on Facebook how during the presidential debates, no one's talking about love. It's all hatred, right? I was like, well, how are we supposed to talk about love when we're talking about? So is love a political language? So as I was told this morning, Donald Trump is the only one talking about love.
Was he talking about love of self?
He loved this country. And him talking about how much he loves his country, while Biden has never said, I love the country, then Donald Trump is the love candidate. That's what I was told this morning.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I was told this morning.
He's the love candidate.
He's the love candidate.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's a different perspective.
I was like, what'd you just say?
Okay.
You just saying what?
All righty. That's what? Interesting.
But so his idea of love kept coming back to, well, he's the only one talking about love.
Yeah, but I think it goes back to, you look at it as a parent thing. Even if your parent didn't tell you all day long they love you, there were things that your parent did that showed you that they love me. So don't tell me that you love me, then you punch me in my face.
Well, see, he used the parent argument that sometimes we don't always like our parent, and our parent is not being loving, but they're doing what's best for us.
No, yeah, your parents do what's best for you. That's key.
So he's saying that Donald Trump is the parent who loves us. He's making hard decisions.
He's the parent that tells you he loves you, and he's punching you in your face, okay?
It goes back to my friend was saying, and I was trying to say to my friend, see, that's your interpretation. But his interpretation is that.
Okay, there's two ways. There's two things. There's right and wrong. I'm right, and that man was wrong.
And your interpretation perspective is right for you. It's like him trying to tell me that, you know, the best love candidate is the one who says he loves the country. Make America Great Again is a love statement, I was told this morning. And so, I was like, what are you talking about? With that being said, don't nobody know what love is.
Yeah. Apparently, because that's some bull right there.
You know, but as we look at relationships, somewhere along the way, we have to, I'm going to say we, I have learned to examine and to look at things not as though it's half empty, but half full. Mm-hmm. So no matter what disagreements or mistakes I've made in the past, what lesson have I learned as a result of that? And if that be the case, if I've learned anything, was it all that bad? And was it right for me to criticize or to cast blame because things didn't work out as I wanted them to?
So there's a silver lining.
You have a self-love shirt on there, by the way.
Yes, it's self-love. Yes. And with Africa.
Yeah, Africa.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's red, black, and green, just, you know, just to get a visual, people, brothers and sisters.
My good brothers and sisters.
So the silver lining in some things. I do try and look for the silver lining.
So is a silver lining like the silver back of the road?
Okay. Silver back gorilla is a killer, right?
It's a killer.
All right. So sometimes the silver lining doesn't have to be a killer, but it's something positive in the darkest times. So I was started watching this series yesterday on Showtime. It's called The Good
Bird.
The Good Bird. What's it called?
With John Brown.
by John, what is it called? The good love, the good Lord Bird.
The good Lord
the good
Bird.
Lord Bird. Yes. And so in the beginning, I thought it was hilarious. Lil Onion said, the silver lining of John Brown's hanging is I ain't got to wear this dress no more. So let's set the tone. So, you
know, I love that line.
Oh, it set the tone. So there is a silver lining in a lot of things.
So it goes back to me saying about the, you know, the silverback gorilla. It's a killer, right? So John Brown was going to get killed. That's a silver lining.
It's the silver lining. So we need to take a break. So we're going to be back in a couple minutes with Love Wins with Ellison Benito.
Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music is an eclectic blend of genres for your listening pleasure. Find our podcast on the Black Talk Radio Network or listen to our stream on Live 365. From praise to timeless tunes to an all-out dance party, our DJs spin the tunes to make you feel good. Reminisce with us on Thursdays as we take you back to our greatest moments. Three Guys Talking Smack and Listening to Music, the intersection of music and culture.
And we're back with Love Wins with Ellis and Benita talking about loving the wrong one.
So, in hindsight, if you've learned anything, did you love the wrong one?
There have been some wrong ones.
In love?
No. Now, I have given too much energy. All right, so I think sometimes it could start off being a lesson. Then sometimes the lesson goes from a lesson to almost like an obsession. Sound like Don King ran up in here, right, with my rabbit. But like once you got the lesson, sometimes we feel like, no, I've invested too much time. I've invested energy. I've invested dollars, these things into this. So I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to hang in there and see what happens. But you already got the lesson that this is wrong. This ain't working for you, but you learn what you needed to go. You learn what you needed to know. But we still here. So at that point, it ain't loving the wrong one no more. Because you already know.
So question. If you are in a loving relationship and you quote unquote love this person and you don't want to leave this person, but yet the relationship is toxic. Is love toxic? And is, if you've learned anything from that, is that a healthy love?
We ain't talking about healthy because it's not healthy at that point, but okay. You can still love.
You can love the wrong one.
Yes, you can still love. Because, I mean, there are a few people that I still love. The love just transformed. It's not that romantic love, and it's not the love with enough energy to make me want to stay in this space with you any longer. But I still love you to the point where I'll do for you. You know, you can give me a call. I'm going to support you. You just ain't going to be up in here. I'm gonna love you from afar.
So we're talking. So it says sometimes we give love to the wrong person.
Okay.
Not loving the wrong person.
All right. Let's read that.
that sometimes we give love to the wrong person and we sit there and wonder, how could I have given love to that person? They don't even deserve it. Oh, what a waste of time. But the thing is, you shouldn't think about it that way. You should think of the fact that you were able to give love, because if you are able to give, that means you have it inside of you. It's the same thing with kindness, with honesty, with your ability to care about people. Don't focus on the way that people abuse that. Focus on the fact that you have it within you and that it makes you who you are. It makes you a beautiful person, a beautiful human being. And I cannot pronounce a person's name. Yawa Zebin, N-A-J-W-A-Z-E-B-I-A-N. I don't know.
We'll put it on the Facebook page, yes, so you can pronounce it however you want to. So I agree with that. So it's not that we shouldn't dwell on, with that saying, we shouldn't dwell on the fact that we gave love to the wrong person. We should dwell on the fact that we had the ability to love,
yes,
that person, or yes, we had it in us to give.
That's a shift in philosophies and perspectives to me. So I think, I do agree with you, but it takes a while to get to that place. Because when you're in your feelings and your woundedness and your frustration, you tend to look at it as a negative and not as a positive.
Yeah, and I think that's what we need to expand on, our emotions. Like, we're taught growing up, like, the simple emotions, the happy, sad, mad, you know, in that. But when we expound on it and we think about it, it's like, okay, if you're mad, dig in. Why are you mad?
Right.
You know, why are you mad about this? Are you mad because this person actually did something to you, or this person didn't live up to your expectation of them? So I think when you break down why you're mad at that person, or why this is the wrong person, it usually comes back to us, because
yeah,
the flags don't hide.
Right.
I mean, usually these things have, you know, somebody's over there waving the flag that I ain't the one for you.
Right.
Like, if I need a person to give me time, that's one of my love languages. I like quality time. If you don't have that to give, no matter your why,
right,
you know, if you don't have it to give, then you're not the right person for me, because that's what I need.
But what if the person doesn't know how to articulate to you that they don't have the time? So they're constantly trying to give you what they don't have. Is that a for effort?
They're trying to give it to me?
What's
that mean?
Yeah, A for effort. You know, okay, someone who doesn't really have the time, but they're trying to give you the time.
You got to show me that you're trying to do it. You know, you can't tell me, yeah, I want to be with you, and you're busy, okay? I grant, I whatever your job is and your responsibilities, they take up a lot of time. But sometime when you with your boys, you know, at the cigar bar, I'm watching you.
So does that person get an A for that effort in attempting to give you what you say you need?
No, you're not getting an A, because if you're trying to be with me,
no, you're not getting
an A. I grade hard.
Or a B?
I grade
or a
hard.
C?
No,
you didn't get a D.
You failed.
You failed. You got an F.
Yeah, and I still love you. We still cool, but I'm paying attention, because maybe this is just cliche, when somebody said, if they want to be with you, they'll make time, or they'll, what's that that saying?
No, but it's accurate. It's long lines.
It's kind of like they'll make time, right? So if you got time for all these other things, why couldn't one of those times be with me?
Well, does the person get any kind of grade from A to F for them attempting to be with you?
This is a pass-fail class.
Oh, gosh. You said
pass-fail.
P-O-F. Lord have mercy. I try to help you out, good brother. I try to help you out. I try to help you
I'm
out.
I'm not talking about anybody in particular, but I do.
It's simple.
Attention.
It's simple. Yes or no.
Yeah.
Pass or fail.
You say you want to be with me, you got to show me.
So, is it possible that you are attempting, not you personally, but you are attempting to be with someone who cannot fulfill your love language?
Yes.
And how many times do we attempt to have a loving relationship with someone who's not capable of fulfilling our love language, our love needs, or even our love wants?
A lot. And so that's why it's important for us to know as you said before, we got to know what it is we need to be fulfilled. Right. I think I mentioned one time a while ago about this sermon that I heard T.D. Jakes deliver about capacity. Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded of it because I was watching something came to me on an old Oprah masterclass, and he was on there and he was talking about that. And he was like, you know, talk about you're a 10-gallon person, but this person can only offer you half an ounce. Mm-hmm. You know, I need the rest of that. Right. I need everything. And so if you can't give me what I need, first of all, I got to know that I'm a 10-gallon person. And I know I need all of this. I need this attention.
So how are you supposed to know that you're a 10-gallon person? I mean, where along your track, educationally, what? Personally, family, social, did you learn this?
I think it's just experience. Like, why this ain't working with this person? Because I need more. I need something else. So what is that thing I need? You know, so kind of do an assessment of past performance evaluation. Past performance evaluation. You know, look at it and see where deficiencies are. And then look at why those things were deficiencies for you.
You know what's amazing to me is I'm beginning to learn, nowhere in our life have we been actually taught what love is. And more important, what love is requires. I had a buddy of mine who said something to me I would have never thought he said.
What did he say?
He said, well, Ellis, you know love is patient. I said, where you get that from? He said,
that's in the Bible. No, something?
It is. But he said, you know what your Bible said? That's what your Bible said.
Red.
I said, but why would you say that? He said, I don't know. It sounded good at the moment. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, somebody said love is patient. Love is patient. Is kind.
It was just interesting how he said it. So I was getting to question him, well, isn't there somewhere in your Bible? I said, but you don't believe what I believe. He said, but nah, it sounded good at the time. So I'm like, but what is your idea? He said, well, you know, the reason why I'm not in love because I'm not patient enough, but I need to be patient. But you just out here throwing random slogans and phrases out, love is patient. but he could not answer, even in his own life of 48, where he had learned that.
But is love, is it one definition that is for everybody? I mean, do we got to find our own love? If I'm talking love language and my love language is gifts, okay, that's not my love language. I already told y'all this now. But if that's one, if you're not giving me, then I ain't going to feel it. I don't feel like you love me, and you can't love me like I need to be loved.
So it appears that individuals have to find out what their love requirements are.
Yes.
So even if you don't have a language, you got to know how you want to be loved. Mm-hmm. You know, like we know for a fact, plants need water. You cannot water your plant on a Palmer. You can't water your plant, say, a Pepsi or Coke, right? It needs water.
Right.
So love needs something in order for it to grow. You cannot give chaos, miscommunication, dishonesty, love, and expect it to grow. And I think that we have been caught up in a society of giving dishonesty or giving what love does not require and expect to receive love back from somebody. Yeah. I know I've been guilty of that. Not knowingly or intentionally, but in hindsight.
But once you know, you grow.
Yes.
So, you know, you kind of have a different set of expectations for yourself. And once we have those expectations of ourselves, then we are more discerning about what we accept from others.
Indeed. And I think also getting to a place of being grateful and thankful of your experience you have with the person, good, bad, or indifferent. And so, you know what? Maybe it didn't turn out. We still may be butting heads, but I got to find some gratefulness in this scenario so that I can move forward. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been trying to work on. Okay, how can I find a medium of gratefulness? I ain't at a place of being thankful. At least I can be grateful I learned something, because even if this person was the wrong person, at least I learned how to love the right person.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that, I mean, I just think that requires some self-examination.
I like that. And we have to examine ourselves often.
Yeah.
You know, because with everything, every day, every day. We learn something different.
Well, you and I had a conversation a few days ago, and you had shared that with me. as I departed. And I began to think about the energy that I had wasted on thinking otherwise than being grateful. And I told myself, no matter what goes down, I have to remind myself to be grateful.
Yeah.
But sometimes I don't want to be grateful.
Right.
I want to be, you know, where I am emotionally, but that's not a good use of the energy.
Yeah. And if it's not good for you, like, you know, sometimes these emotions that we exert on other people is hurting us more than it's hurting those people. Because when those people don't care, they don't care what you do. You can, you can blow up. Your head can spin around 8 times. They don't care. It's just something to talk about. They're going to videotape you on their phone, and it's going to go viral.
I'm on this Black Fathers group in Facebook, and one of the brothers said, parenting a teenage girl is like having a cat that only hisses at you and wants to be fed. And I was like, this is not accurate. But one of the brothers responded that, you know, it ain't even about you. You know, what the cat does, it ain't about you. Mm-hmm. That's just what the cat does. So we think, you know, she's hissing at you. But the fact is, she's a teenage girl.
It's that they got a whole lot of things going on with their bodies, you know, the influences, the things they're dealing with at school. It's all of that. I mean, you know, I used to hear folks say that, you know, they didn't like their daughter until they were like 24, 25. Mm. I can relate to that. You know, because there were a lot of times, like with my daughter, who's now 27, I'm like, I can't believe I raised this. What is this? I am not this way. You know, what happened? My stepmom used to always say, I don't know why you got this, because you weren't like this. I don't know what, you know, what happened that you got this.
It must be the generation.
Something, you know, but they're their own. They have a whole lot of stimulators. You know, they have this computer all the time, this Facebook or social media, I should say, because they're not on Facebook, but they have social media. They have so many stimulants.
It's like getting hit with Mike Tyson repeatedly. You know, you catching a Mike Tyson blow. You're trying to hug and be loving, and you get hit with a haymaker or a body blow and an uppercut. That's what I would compare. But you got to love it, you know, because they're going through X, Y, and Z, and it's hard to go back to love. It's hard to, you know, analyze, okay, how am I loving? What can I do different to love her so I don't get the same gut punch? But then it comes anyway.
No, it's nothing you can do. I mean, I think when you're doing what you do, I'll give you an example. My daughter was going to run away. I think she's about 14. And her dad, it was so funny. He had, like, stayed up all night, like, by the door, making sure she'll run away. I slept like a baby. And so the next morning, when he was taking her to school, he woke me up. I'm still asleep because I'm good. You know, she gonna run away okay because I ain't do nothing to you. You know, you just mad because you can't run my house, right? And so he said, check her book bag. So I did. And so I took out the school uniforms. That's all. I said, because we're not paying tuition. And I gave the book bag back. So he was furious because I'm still like, if you're going to run away, do that. You know, I'm not bending over backwards, contorting myself to make you comfortable. I'm doing everything to make you comfortable. It's lighter here. It's heat in here. There's food in the refrigerator that you're welcome to 24/7. But I'm not doing anything else to contort for your comfort. So, want to go? Bye.
But see, that is a woman's response to their daughter. That's a man's response or father's response
to his son,
to their daughter. Oh. Let that son go through the exact same thing. And then you would be in an opposite, be in an opposite position, doing the same thing he was doing, right? That's how it works.
Okay.
That's how it works.
Well, Noah ran away at 3.
Oh, at 3?
Yeah, he sat on the porch with his banana and the fruit cup and some pudding.
At 3 years old.
Yeah, he was mad at me.
So he ran away to the front porch.
To the porch, no shoes on. He took a towel.
At least he was thoughtful. He took something to eat in a towel, you know?
He came back.
Oh, my gosh. It's telling you. But I do think this whole love, I like the love language, love requirement. It somehow it needs to be discussed early on. Otherwise, we don't know.
Yeah, and we make a lot. We look at our parents, you know, I think maybe our first models of love.
I think so.
And
right
is our models. And so we, until we learn for ourselves, we kind of repeat those same cycles. I know I was being in relationships with guys who were, had similar characteristics of my father. And it wasn't that these were necessarily, all of them were good characteristics. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them were.
Right.
But they weren't all good. But a part of it is because this was my normal. You know, this was my normal. I grew up with a man like this, so I'm used to this. Even though it's not necessarily good for me or even comfortable, but it's my normal.
Right.
So like if I feed my kids cake every day, that's their normal. They're used to eating cake every day. That's normal in their household. So you go somewhere else and they give you bacon and eggs, and you're like, what is this? Where's the cake?
Yeah.
You know,
so. And I think that's what happens in our relationships. We make the assumption that everybody's eating cake every single day.
Yeah.
And so we go in these relationships thinking we're compatible and we're not.
Yep.
And but you have to have a, you know, a conversation or take some time before you enter into, you know, this whole love language, because you don't know what somebody's been fed. And most of us have not been fed the same thing when it comes to love. We're eating two different meals.
Yeah.
Completely different meals. No veggies, just straight soda and cake.
Yeah, soda and cake. Lucky you're eating.
Right. Be thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
And don't complain.
Gratitude. So we're going to take another quick break, and we're going to be right back with Love Wins with Ellison Bonita.
Now I don't. I used to. Now I don't. Now I don't. Involved a young man. Involved a young man. He was the ocean, and I was the sand.
Crossroads, path would I choose?
Stuck and frustrated, I waited, debated.
For something to happen, it just wouldn't fit in.
Thought what I wanted was something I needed.
When mama said no, then I just should have heeded.
This night I fled till the poison was gone.
And all of that is what was sweet dawn.
Much more than being
Sometimes in the look in his eyes,
he's one of a man who's lost treasures untold.
But my heart is gone, see, I took back my soul.
And totally let my creator control
the life which was his.
We're back with Love Wins with Ellison Bonita. You just heard from my sister, Lauren Hill. I used to love him. Yeah.
But now I don't.
Sisters, we've been there. We've been there.
And brothers, we're still there.
But y'all still with the girl you don't love.
You know, as I listen to that song, and the fact of the matter is, she says, I used to love him, but now I don't. And I think if you really love somebody, do you ever stop loving them?
I don't think you do. I just think it's love is an energy to transform. Energy doesn't die.
Right.
It just transforms into something else.
So if you stop loving them, did you ever love them? You think not?
Right.
Okay.
Everybody I ever loved, I love.
Right. So if you want the best for them, does that mean that you still love them?
That's a byproduct, I think, because, you know, you could want the best for anybody.
So if you want the best for them,
and you actively help them achieve
the You want the best for them. You don't wish anything bad on them. Do you still love them?
You don't. No, that ain't necessarily love. I want the best for 45.
No, you don't. You're lying.
No, and I don't really wish nothing bad to happen to him. I just don't want him to be the leader of the country.
Right.
You know, I don't care about him outside of that. That ain't love. I ain't thinking about you, and I have good wishes for humans.
It speaks to the ambiguity as it pertains to love, and there's no definitive definition.
No, that ain't love, though. I mean, I don't love him. I mean, I don't have to love
you. But you love humanity, and because you love humans, you want all humans to
do well. I want people to do well, right.
But you don't love flies.
Nah, I despise.
I despise the flies.
Mm. So, no.
In immortal words of my former pastor, Bert Taylor, ninjas and flies, ninjas and flies. The more I say ninjas, stop killing flies. From the pulpit.
But love is like, for me, if I still love you, you know, we may not be together in the same way, but I'm still down for you. Like, I'm going to do, if there's something that I can do to help you, I'm going to do it. I will still go out of my way for you. It's just, we're not here.
So if I still love you, I'm not going to do harm to you.
I'm not going to do harm.
But at the same time, I'm not going to allow you to do harm to me.
Right. Right. I mean, you're not going to let anybody do harm to you. But like, for me, I'm still your cheerleader.
And what?
Whatever, what you're trying to do. Okay. You know, whatever you're trying to do, I'm still your cheerleader. If I know somebody, if I know a way I can help you achieve that thing, I'm going to connect you. I'm still going to be your cheerleader. We just ain't together no more.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's how it is for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So loving the wrong one. There's no wrong one. There's just wrong times. But we take lessons.
We take lessons
from those
as pertains to love.
Yes.
So you're not loving the wrong one. It's the wrong time that you're with that one.
That one, right.
But it's
a lesson.
But it has to be love. It can't be like. It can't be lust.
Once you love.
It has to be love.
Real love.
All right. A great conversation would be love, lust, and like. How to delineate between the three.
Is that the next show topic?
That's really the next.
You love, better write that down, because you know we forgetful.
For real.
We were like, what did we say we're going to talk about next
time? Love, lust, and like.
You got that down? Love, lust, and like. Ooh, do we need people? We need guests? Y'all want to be a part of that show? Y'all hit me up. Y'all can come on our Zoom.
I don't like people. I'm an introvert. I don't even like us.
We can have people for 20 minutes. So.
Just 20.
Just 20.
Because the energy
and
changes.
We talk a whole 50 minutes on this show.
We do a great job, too.
We got time. All right, y'all. So I got to thank the Black Talk Radio Network, Mr. Scotty Reed, for having us as a part of his family. Thank you, Big P, for being a super producer. And now that the stream is back up, Live 365, stream, Three Guys Talk and Smack and Listen to Music, 24/7 music, very eclectic blend. So check us out on that. Thank you to our listeners for continuing to show us love by listening and sharing. And we appreciate your feedback. Until next week, bye-bye.
Peace and blessings.
We hope you enjoy Love Wins with Ellis and Benita. Until next time, put love first. Hashtag Love Wins. If you'd like to reach us, reach out at lovewinswithellisandbenita@gmail.com.